Hey Sharad, how's it going, man?
It's going all right, with the budget behind us now, so a lot of exciting stuff, and especially on the crypto side.
Yeah, I think crypto is pretty much the main takeaway. I mean, there's also that entire thing on the additional CapEx, but people are already being spoiled for where will the government borrow from, etc., etc. But overall, what's your take? How did you view the piece?
It's like, no news is good news. Like, it was so boiled. Like, everything was largely expected. No
Yeah.
big surprises. Crypto, obviously, I mean, highest tax bracket. I mean, the good thing is that it's at least being identified as a real asset class. So that's probably the key takeaway. But nothing, I mean, everyone talked about heightened spending and budget deficit widening. So everything was sort of largely in line, I feel.
It's so interesting that inaction is now taken as a compliment.
Positive, yeah.
Yeah. So on that note, we I think have a we have someone who can give a fairly good perspective on things, especially from cryptocurrency standpoint. We have with us Edul Patel. Edul, hi, how are you? So Edul is the
Doing really well
CEO.
post the session as such.
Sorry?
Doing really well post the budget session as such.
Absolutely. So Edul is the CEO of Mudrex. Mudrex is an automated trading platform for cryptocurrencies. Obviously, we'll go into a lot more detail about Mudrex, but I kind of was getting like a small case kind of a vibe when I see what these guys are doing. It's super interesting, especially, you know, in a completely I would say green asset class about which not many people are knowledgeable, or you know, there is, you know, when it comes to financial advice, I think that's fairly lacking, and information asymmetry is kind of the peak concern. So it's good to see, you know, platforms like Edul. So Edul, welcome to the show. So Edul, why don't we start from the start? What's your take on the budget? You know, like obviously there are two sides of the story, right? On one end, everybody's pretty happy that there is some amount of recognition there, and on the other end, the entire idea that just because there is a taxation recognition doesn't mean there is clarity on legalization. What's your view?
I think firstly, at a 10,000 feet overview, the budget in general seems very nice. It's a fairly growth-centric budget for the country. A lot of fairly positive things, and as you said, inaction was in this case probably the best action to take. And so from that perspective, it was great. Now coming on to crypto, the part that I'm really glad and happy about is that they've now declared a kind of sort of a framework as to how do you account for revenues and gains. And in my opinion, and that's kind of sort of the general public sentiment as well, that as soon as you start doing that, that's like step one towards legitimacy and legalizing and so on and so forth, right? What they have right now defined is a tax framework around it, and we'll talk about that framework in some time. But that's step one. Having said that, we've gone through the details, and there are a lot of details missing. So I would love to get those clarity over the course of the next few weeks or a couple of months or so before this actually gets enforced. And as I said, this is like a step one, right? A step two from here is now defining entities who are responsible to execute these taxation policies and who have the right to do certain things and don't have the right to do other things, and so on and so forth, right? So from that perspective, I think this is the absolute step one. Either way, there is a mountain to climb, and all those mountains get climbed step by step. So great step one, in my opinion.
When we I'm not by no stretch of the imagination a crypto expert, but most counterintuitive thing is, right, I mean, the whole thing about blockchain and crypto is sort of decentralized finance and alternative, and then you sort of get taxation, which is fiat largely, right? So you're sort of trying to merge those two, convert like gains in a blockchain network and try to pay up taxes in a fiat form. That itself seems a little complicated, right?
Certain apart from death and taxes, right? So
Yeah.
I don't think why people imagine that they will never have to pay taxes on their
Yeah.
crypto gain. It was an obvious thing that will happen.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, it's like a step-by-step thing, right? If you think about how it's set up right now, it's set up largely in the format of an exchange via fiat, because that's the existing technology
Yeah.
per se, right? And that's the part that's most widely accepted. I'm assuming as time progresses, you move towards more and more digitizing all of that to it via blockchain. So on that note, the announcement of the digital rupee and CBDC hopefully coming into play by 2023 is also monumental. And I think that is the bigger thing to talk about rather than taxes on crypto from that announcement.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people appreciate the kind of changes that itself can bring about in how we transact, invest, and just interact with our money as such.
Mm-hmm. But like there is a, I mean, I remember ahead of the budget, there was this, you know, conversation of demarcation between private cryptocurrencies and the rest. And then, you know, with the digital rupee coming into the picture, that conversation starts sounding more and more real, right? That there might actually be some sort of a differentiation of treatment. I mean, you know, from a stakeholder conversation standpoint, as of now, are you, you think this is like too big to ignore kind of a, you know, problem? Because even though, you know, that entire taxation point gives much needed legitimacy, immediately on the next day, the finance secretary is making statements like saying that, okay, this doesn't really mean, you know, you shouldn't extrapolate taxation treatment versus legalization. You know, they are two different things. So, you know, as an operator within this space, how do you kind of, you know, and the interesting, I would say, segue from there is that this is a asset class which is not domestic in nature, right? It has a very, very broader cross-border global kind of a implication. So I'm sure, you know, there was a time when RBI was being very, very stringent, and at that time also a lot of operators were able to, you know, scale up through many different ways. How are you kind of viewing? Are you concerned, or you are like, oh, let's wait and watch. This is a nice first step, and now this is too big of a thing to, you know, just, you know, be kind of to vanish away in the background.
Correct. So, you know, just let's take it step by step. So the first thing I'm glad about is that we've gone from a 10-year jail imprisonment to 30% tax on gains.
Okay.
Which is great.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've gone from 10 years jail imprisonment to 30% tax on gains. And that's, I think, a big step. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and if you read the language mentioned in the finance bill, I think it's intentionally very broad.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's intentionally very broad is because the act, or because I think the objective was to build something that is a catch-all.
Mm-hmm.
And then it specifies different clauses that says that we will define different things differently as time progresses, which I think also is a great approach. Now that you've got a catch-all, everyone in the industry has some standard to fall back with,
right,
or fall back to. As such, and if nothing, there is this standard that applies to anything and everything in the virtual digital asset space. And with that, we can now continue to build up. Right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, I genuinely do believe that once there is some more clarity around who is allowed to do what, we might have different kinds of assessments of taxation as well.
Right.
I completely foresee that, you know, the same structure of long-term versus short-term capital gains will come into the ecosystem in a few years' time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The important thing is that we should appreciate that our regulators have had the gumption to move forward at the pace at that they move,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise typically regulations take ages to come in.
Yeah. Right?
And I think this is an outlier from that perspective, where the government has been moving as fast as the industry has been moving,
mm-hmm.
and has come up with a relatively friendly set of rules and laws. And I'm not saying that they are perfect, but I'm saying that they're a great start, they're a good catch-all, so mm-hmm. everyone now has a fallback.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a good starting point from where people can now start building. And as that building grows, more and more specific use cases will be carved out. And I'm assuming taxation will be dependent on that.
Right.
And let's come to a little bit to sort of what you're doing at Mudrex.
Sure.
What is the sort of value proposition, and who's the target audience? Is it and, you know, and then we'll sort of delve into like difference between trading and investing. But what is the sort of value proposition?
Absolutely. So if you look at how crypto has evolved over the last few years or so, till about, you know, 2014, 2015, only the geeks, the nerds, the technology enthusiasts were into crypto, right? And that largely most people in the world were unaware, right? Then in the 17th and 18th and 19th, what happened is the first wave of traders kind of sort of came in and wanted to capitalize on the price volatility and influence on and so forth from crypto. And once they came in, they ended up doing a lot of trading, transacting, you know, day trading and so on and so forth to get gains. 2020 onwards, what has happened is that now the ecosystem has much evolved, where it's moved from just 10, 15, 20 million traders to 50, 60, 70 million retail investors.
Yeah.
And for retail investors, day trading is a nightmare. And you guys would know this better than me, that you know, doing day trading essentially involves multiple decision making, and the more you involve decision making, the more there are chances of you doing something wrong, mm-hmm. and as a result, dropping off. And as a result, for most people who want to stay hands off, the kind of products that exist in traditional markets are effectively things like mutual funds, investment or mutual funds, index funds, or for that matter, products like small cases, or for that matter, investment advisors like you guys, for that matter, right? So those are the kind of products that exist in the traditional markets for 90% people.
Yeah.
The reality of life is that crypto is now moving towards that 90% people, but there is no product that helps users invest in a simple, linear way in crypto and avoid that decision making of whether I pick Shiba Inu or Solana or you know, Matic or something else. At Mudrex, we are doing the job of removing that decision making by creating simple baskets of tokens that users can invest in. We think that removal of decision making, removal of cognitive overload, helps people make better decisions and aligns them with what they want. If they are looking for long-term wealth creation in crypto, we've got a product called as Crypto Blue Chip, which is built around the lines of Nifty 50. So just like how Nifty 50 is the top 50 stocks in the NSE, Crypto Blue Chip is the top 50 crypto tokens that is rebalanced automatically on a monthly basis based on their market cap. For someone who is, let's say, slightly more specifically, has a lot of enthusiasm regarding smart contracts. We've got a smart contract basket, very similar to, let's say, how a bank Nifty basket would work. Similarly, how there is a pharma Nifty basket regarding pharma stocks, we've got a basket for DeFi stocks as well. So the idea is that instead of you placing individual, for all practical purposes, bets on different stocks or different tokens, you take a directional view regarding an idea and invest in ideas that you believe in with the help of what Mudrex offers. And I think this product and the service is something that a lot of users were looking forward to, because otherwise the only alternative is to go out and buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And buying Bitcoin is like going and buying Reliance stock, yeah, TCS stock, NSE, right? It's a good directional long-term bet, but it's not the best way in which you should invest. And to be honest, like almost no one recommends just buying one stock.
Yeah.
And keeping. So that's the approach that we are taking. We are simplifying investing for a vast majority of people in crypto. We are doing that with our expertise and with all the infrastructure that we like to set up. And with that, we are building an investing layer for crypto. And as time progresses, we'll continue to build more and more and more investment products that help people diversify and create wealth and value using this marvelous new asset class that's in front of us.
No, it's interesting, and pardon me, you know, but like I have trained in public markets or sort of more traditional, so I always try to sort of connect those. Just, you know, one of the things in investing, one of the principles is sort of looking at valuation, right? Like what is the right price to get? What is it, you know, and a lot of decisions are made on that initial price and valuation. How does one go about something? Because again, I mean, this is more anecdotal, but most of the people who've sort of been in crypto have got a very trading mindset. The ones at least I've interacted, albeit a small sample size. They've not, and when you look at investing like TCS or, you know, people still look at fundamentals. Oh, yeah, Jio is doing well, or TCS, India will always be an outsourcing, you know, software play. Okay. But how do you sort of go about, and you said Solana, Matic and all, right? How do you sort of try to identify those price points? Like, okay, this is a good bet, or we are so early that it's right now about just going long on whatever and you'd still get a piece of the pie. Like, what? How do you approach that?
Correct. So, I think there are two parts to look at it, right? Firstly, you know, attempting to time the market is a fool's errand in any market, right? So I genuinely never believe in the fact that you should try and time the market. The better approach is the straightforward indexing and compounding approach. Believe in that the fact that this is going to grow, just continue to compound month after month after month, continue to add small bets month after month, let it grow for the longer run. And those are typically the simpler products. And that's the kind of products that Mudrex is building out right now. Coming on to timing, and that's more kind of sort of the trader mindset, as you rightly said. That's the part that a vast majority of users or traders in crypto early on used to focus on. And when you're talking about timing typically is either on the fundamental analysis type in nature or the technical analysis type in nature. Fundamental analysis type is more around the array stuff, long-term value kya hai, balance sheet mein books kya hai, cash flow kya chal raha hai, etc. Technical analysis is more around, you know, trying to time market psychology and fear and greed and momentum and trend, right? But what I do believe is that from a timing perspective, technical analysis works in crypto really well, simply because the market is global, and as a result of that, larger sentimental shifts are easily captured. So it works really well in the state in which it is right now.
Interesting.
The fundamental analysis part is relatively very early.
Yeah.
Because we are still, a lot of the decision making is still on the underlying fact that, okay, this is going to change the world. Mm. And this idea is going to change the world, not necessarily key, what is the cash balance for this particular asset and group. Mm. Having said that, as crypto is evolving and as things are progressing, more and more decisions are being taken on fundamental analysis. Let me give you an example of this. There is a protocol called as Compound,
mm-hmm.
Which essentially is a lending borrowing protocol.
Mm-hmm.
The lending borrowing protocol Compound essentially makes money on interest, on the difference of the interest that it pays out to borrowers and the interest that it takes from lenders. And the Compound protocol's price has now started to converge with how its lending borrowing and we typically talk about in the banking world, the CASA ratio is moving along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that convergence is now actually truly happening. Mm-hmm. And it's happening now because Compound is at a place where it has $15 billion worth of outstanding loans and about $41 billion worth of collateral that is being staked on Compound and that's earning interest. Now, mm-hmm. that's a large number.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as it's become more robust, more steady, as the industries have kind of sort of flatlined and stabilized, we are now able to truly value Compound and the Compound token for the wealth that is being created using Compound.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going more and more towards fundamental analysis. This is true for some of the mature products in crypto. Mm-hmm. And of course, not true for some of the newer products. And that's the
like
same
Dogecoin.
Case. Yeah, like, or for the... Dogecoin has a separate, very different yeah. fundamental mematic value
yeah.
that we'll talk about separately. But
mematic like value. I like mematic
that's
value.
An interesting phrase.
I'm going to use it now.
Yes.
Yes. So, just like how, you know, there are penny stocks for whom it's very difficult to do fundamental analysis and price movements are kind of sort of decoupled from performance of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, a lot of tokens in crypto are fairly away from fundamental analysis. Mm-hmm. But as things are progressing and as the industry is evolving and as products are maturing and money is moving in, we are moving more and more and more to that fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's quite fascinating. I mean, the one end, right, like the absolute enthusiast and a couple of folks that I know, like they're sort of, and this is the Western world, right? They're trying to borrow money in fiat at what, 3%, 4%, and then they sort of deploy it and lend it and go to yield farming and these platforms like Aave and things like that. So there's that one extreme, but your target audience is going to be, I mean, guys like me who essentially doesn't know a lot about valuing crypto or even the tokens available, but it's tailored to the wider market, right? I mean, this is not an enthusiast-specific product.
Correct. I mean, we earlier used to be an enthusiast-specific product when the entire market was just enthusiasts.
Yeah.
But now that there are long-term believers, holders, investors who want to create wealth and grow wealth mm-hmm. are coming in, we are creating simplified versions.
Mm-hmm.
So, from an investment perspective, we generally think of it from this thought process that most people want to invest in, let's say, three kind of buckets. You either want fixed income returns, which is I put my money somewhere, that money continues to earn me some interest, like a debt mutual fund or something like that. Then you want market-linked returns, which is a mutual fund or an index fund. And then you want some people, at least the higher echelon of people, want market hedge returns.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are not necessarily looking for market returns, but reduction in risk. Right? That, mm-hmm. That's the family office, HNI, mm-hmm. and large value people mm-hmm. who are looking for that. Right? Mm-hmm. Mudrex, in the end, aims to solve and create products on these fronts. Coinsets, our product, which is the basket product that I was talking about, is squarely in the center where we are building a product for you to help you give market-linked returns. So mm-hmm. if crypto grows, Coinsets grows, your value grows, and wealth creates.
Mm-hmm.
We are now, hopefully early next week, launching a fixed income product
mm-hmm.
where you put in money and we do all the heavy lifting. We give you 14 to 18% yield annually on top of that by leveraging all the opportunities that are available in crypto and in DeFi. And then on the market hedge side, we are already actively working with a lot of institutions, HNIs, family offices to give them Bitcoin returns, but one-fourth the volatility of Bitcoin. And of course, scale up from there. So we genuinely think there are these different kinds of investment products that can be built out. We are squarely focused on the new audience who wants to participate but doesn't have the time. For them, the market-linked return, the fixed income products that we are launching are spot on.
So just two more follow-ups, like on the regulatory side, like One is like in public money or even private investment, fiat money, let's call it. I mean, the regulations are fairly clear, like in India, right? You're either AIF 1, 2, or 3. I mean, you fall into one of these buckets. That's sort of one. And second is there's a lot of net worth requirements, and there's a analysis of your prospective client or customer's credit worthiness, willingness to take. How does that process work in crypto? Like what regulatory framework does a crypto asset manager fall into?
Yes. So unfortunately, there is none.
Okay.
Because all our regulatory frameworks are defined around securities,
mm-hmm.
And mostly investments in securities and so on and so forth. But as I said, the taxation bill was step one. Mm-hmm. I think the step two now, which I was alluding to earlier, is effectively defining which kind of entities are allowed to do what.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, then either give them some either tax write-offs or reduction in taxation, mm-hmm. if you are going through that particular path or process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part we are still fairly early in. And but I expect something to come out over there in the next few months or so as well, from an India perspective.
Right.
From a global perspective, there are different understandings for this. For example, in the US, it is, although not written in stone, but it's very clear that if an investment advisor is advising on crypto, they need to have an RIA license. If you are doing broker dealership in crypto, you need to have a broker dealer license. That's kind of sort of fairly well understood and accepted, and the regulatory path is moving along those lines. I expect something similar to happen over here in it.
Right. You know, the one thing that, like, for example, like a platform like Mudrex, you it's a blend of execution, you know, trading support as well as advisory to a certain extent, right? Even though you're looking at things from a more basket diversified point of view, right? But effectively, it's a blend of both. Now, when you look at the traditional, I would say, what do you say, TradFi?
When you look
at TradFi, right? You kind of, sorry, I'm trying to, you know, pick up on this, you know, sound cool at bars and all that. So, like in TradFi, like effectively, when you're looking at like you know, securities themselves, you know, the entire, you know, pathway to custody of those securities, you know, like you have they're dematerialized. There is recourse in case some, you know, assets the fan, etc. But on crypto, you often hear of things like, you know, oh, these are verified cryptos, or, you know, like there are concerns sometimes about, you know, the fraud when it comes to the actual token. How do you guys? I know and I understand completely that these are a lot of things that it's kind of self-regulation at this stage, right? I mean, you don't have guidance from the regulator, so you pretty much, you know, try to evolve best market practices to ensure that there is level of comfort and trust. But how do you view things like, you know, the fact that, okay, I bought a basket, but the underlying tokens are, you know, fraudulent, for example, like just a hypothetical case, like how do you kind of check yourself against it?
Correct. So I think on that front, we actually do a lot of work. It's not like the baskets are created out of thin air. There is a lot of expertise that goes into it. We've got our in-house Mudrex Capital Quant team that does the job of creating these baskets. And over there, we do these some basic fundamental checks, as they call it. Keep, are the people legit? Is the product good? Is the community growing? Is there work happening?
Right.
And so on and so forth. So all of that, all of those checks, we do put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we actively remove. So going back to the mematic value, we don't have coins like Dogecoin and Shiba Inu and so on and so forth in any of our baskets, despite them qualifying from a market cap perspective. They are, although in a specific separate basket, which is only about meme coins, and if you believe in that, then okay, that's fine. You believe in that. We still give you the ability to invest. That's one part. The second part that we do is we actually do have some processes set up to assess investor risk ability. So when you join in on Mudrex, we do optionally provide users a kind of sort of a questionnaire that they can go through that helps us assess what kind of risk profile they would fit in, and as a result, give them suggestions of these different baskets that might be more suited for their approach. So there's a lot of work that we do, because see, we genuinely believe that crypto is here to stay for the next 20, 30, 40 years. It is not going away. If it's going to stay here, retail users would like to have the tier 1 A-grade experience that they have been experiencing in the traditional asset classes from a support and trust perspective. And at the same time, everyone in the world would want to have like a tier 1 A-grade technological execution perspective, support and help, right? And we work on both fronts. We believe that helping someone provide a platform is as much as building trust with them and building a relationship as much as it is about the execution excellence and so on and so forth. And that's both. We try to touch upon both, which is why we do webinars every single day for our global users, right? Like there are webinars at different slide time slots for India users, for US users, for US, Europe users, and so on and so forth, where we actively try and solve doubts. We've got a process called as Mudrex Select, where we do one-on-one calls with people to help them get onboarded, give them some understanding and a sense of what is good for them and what is not good for them, and so on. And it is through things like that that we build trust, right? And if you go back on Mudrex, none of the products are designed around ki arey yaha invest kar lo 300% gain milega, right? Yeah. Like that's not what we sell. The gain is never something that we sell, because that's counter thesis to building trust, right? If I'm selling gains, that means I'm telling you that I will help you make money, and that's the wrong path to go on, purely from a building trust and building transparency perspective. That's not what we do.
Yeah.
We will help you make the best decisions, and as a result of that, provide you products that diversify, reduce risk, and help you create wealth in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for short-term gambling kind of sort of gain, where you put in money and get 10x return and go out, sorry, Mudrex is not the platform for you.
Mm-hmm.
We are happy to acknowledge that and move it.
Mm-hmm. You just said that, you know, crypto will stay around for the next 40 years. I just want to ask you at a very macro level, what gives you that conviction? You know, I mean, because, I mean, there are, you know, people who are fanatic about the asset class. There are people who are completely against that asset class, right? I mean, you have big geographies now, you know, China, Russia, where a fair amount of restrictions have come in. The Oracle of Bombay, Mr. Jhunjhunwala, is also now, you know, making statements against it. Forgetting about your role as CEO, co-founder of Mudrex, but I'm sure at a macro level also you have a fair amount of conviction on this. What gives you comfort? Like, for example, I'll give you my comfort. My comfort has always been like, you know, when guys like, you know, Goldman Sachs or Vanguard, like major pension funds, institutional players are putting in money against something, I know that's something which is very legit. That's it. I mean, that nothing more deeper than that I have gone. But obviously, you are much more deeper to the entire ecosystem.
Correct. Agreed. Before we get into conviction, A bit about my background. So I graduated IIT Bombay in 2011. Post that, went to Deutsche Bank, was there for a couple of years, trading and risk team. Left that to start my first company, Niffler, where we were trying to build a Groupon for India.
Yeah.
Did that for a couple of years, raised some money, built out an office, got acquired by another company in India, which was called as Tabzo. Joined Tabzo, became head of product there. Post that, Tabzo got acquired by Amazon. I didn't want to go to Amazon. And at that point, you know, I was just reflecting on, okay, what is it that I want to do, and where do I help create value? And me and my co-founders, we were looking at a lot in the wealth tech, invest tech, and so on and so forth space, because we truly, genuinely, deeply believe that the problem to be solved at like a macro, broader level is that if you're able to help someone with financial freedom, that opens up doors for everything else. Mm-hmm. Once someone is financially independent and free, they can use their creativity, drive to their passions, and actually add value to the world, right? And that's the path that we wanted to follow. We wanted to help people get to financial freedom faster. While we were doing that, we somehow fell in the crypto rabbit hole for the third or fourth time in our life,
right?
And started to pursue it. And that's when actually I truly realized the value of crypto. I genuinely think that What we are witnessing is that we are witnessing a transition, not only from a technology perspective, but from a societal perspective as to how do we deal with money and barter and, mm-hmm. and exchange of value and so on and so forth. And if you look back on it, currencies and fiat were essentially a technology that we invented as humans to exchange value in a non-digital kind of a world, right? In the world that we are living in today, where everything is moving digital and software is eating every single part of the ecosystem, money is kind of sort of that last barrier that is still fairly traditional and moves in a fairly traditional way. And I think as technology evolves and as the internet evolves and as we become a more globalized kind of sort of a society where exchange of value crosses borders, the path of crypto and the path of blockchain is a natural extension to where things move. This, coupled with general economic instability across different countries, different geographies, and that economic instability is limiting the kind of sort of abilities of kind of sort of citizens in those economies, is then the second movement that will then, of course, drive this forward. And then the third part is that, as I said, right, crypto is more about, it is as much a technological kind of sort of movement as it is a societal or a social movement. Right? Mm-hmm. It's more about you moving away from the government giving you currency and the government saying that, okay, this is my currency, to the currency being verified by a centralized, like a decentralized public assessment and whatever currency being there being your currency and so on and so forth. So that's kind of sort of my motivation. I genuinely do think that it is more of a societal change, and societal change take 30, 40, 50 years to get implemented. And as that gets implemented, crypto will become front and center. And effectively, what crypto and more so blockchain, the technology helps you do is kind of sort of account for and transact value over the internet fairly seamlessly. And right. as we move more and more things digital, accounting for and transacting for value will also move digital, which is why we will need crypto, and that will be an eventuality. I can do like a 3-hour long monologue on each of those topics, and I would love to do that at some point. But I am a believer in the technology,
right.
and I genuinely do believe that technology has a lot of positive feedback currents moving towards it, simply because internet is expanding, globalization is expanding, there is lots of economic uncertainty and inflation and so on and so forth that's happening world over at like a macro level. And all of that will push more and more and more people into the wave of crypto and eventually get us to adopt it.
Mm-hmm.
How does it actually, like tactically, strategically pan out is a completely different question.
Yeah.
So the way we are seeing cryptos today and the way we are seeing tokens today and protocols today might be completely different as to how they end up being 20 years from now. But having said that, the directionally, this is the way where things will be. That's what I genuinely believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what I'm looking at.
So directionally, where do you think Mudrex will move in the future? Like you are planning to, like, for example, you already have a couple of product offerings. The idea is to kind of, you know, expand the suite of baskets that you can offer, or is the idea to go, you know, deeper and deeper into a particular offering, or is the idea to also expand beyond crypto into other asset classes, like maybe bridge TradFi and DeFi into one you know, universal platform? How are you viewing things in terms of growth?
Yeah, so now going back to the two theses that I spoke about, right? One part is that crypto will take over everything that you do in value creation, value transfer and sharing. And the other part is that our vision, our dream is to help people get to financial independence faster, and we see money as a lubricant of getting that. The way at least we are thinking about Mudrex in general is that today crypto is broken from a user experience perspective.
Right.
There is a lot of innovation happening on the technology side, and that itself has a 5-10 year curve of growth, but there are a lot of user experience problems that are there, and Mudrex today is trying to solve for the user experience problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying that we are creating the front end in more so a TradFi perspective, where we are building like from a Web2 perspective, we are creating a company, getting people onboarded and first giving them a taste of what benefits this new tech gives, right?
Right.
And that's the path that I think we will primarily focus on solving. In parallel, we are also working a lot on the backend technology side, where we are trying to literally work on blockchains. For example, we got a small team inside of Mudrex called as Mesh.finance, where we work with we are working with folks across Ethereum, across Starkware, across Polygon to figure out how do we build traditional finance primitives on top of those products,
right,
while we solve for security, scalability and fees.
Mm-hmm.
And as those things get built out, we push more and more of them on the Mudrex. So in the 1 to 3 year horizon, I think our goal is to open access to all the interesting things that are happening on the crypto side to users in a way, in like a user experience way that's very fairly similar and understandable to them. In like the 3 to 5 year kind of sort of thought process, that we expect that as more and more of these products get out, a lot of the user experience problems will get solved, and we'll be able to move users directly onto the DeFi side. And then post that, at least the way we look at it is that we genuinely want to continue to improve on our mission and vision of helping people get to financial independence faster.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that via making money a lubricant for you to help you do whatever you want in terms of helping you manage your investments, your credit, your savings, and your long-term value creation via Mudrex. The thought process is not that Mudrex will go and help folks in other asset classes. We genuinely think that the rate at which crypto is moving, other asset classes will move to crypto faster.
Mm-hmm.
So all we need to do is just take it to the crypto world and continue to grow from there.
And is there some kind of comparable companies across the world who've sort of, who are tackling similar, or someone that you look up to, aspirational comms, if you will, that you like the work that they're doing in the same similar space?
Of course, right? So on, and if you look at like the crypto world today, companies that are working on our side of the part of on CeFi. There are on the one end companies like Coinbase, Binance, FTX, and so on and so forth that focus on a lot on the trading side to get people on board, right? On the other end, there are companies like BlockFi, Nexo, and so on and so forth that provide the yield, right? And then these two operate at two extreme ends of the spectrum. One is for the active enthusiast trader, the other is for the passive investor. And we think that we sit right in the center of them, where we start with the folks that are on the BlockFi side, give them the ability to, you know, invest and grow and create that portfolio in the longer run. And on the fringe, give them also the ability to transact fairly actively if they are enthusiasts. So we look up to all of these guys because we genuinely do think that they've done a lot to nudge and push the envelope ahead and as a result, bring more and more and more folks into the crypto ecosystem. And that's where you want to go.
Right.
Exciting.
How do you, how do you view the entire VC ecosystem when it comes to looking at cryptocurrency-oriented startups? And there's always that, you know, kind of a very basic structural discussion that comes from venture capital investment in crypto that, you know, do we participate in the equity or do we actually participate in any tokens or in the project itself, right? How do you view that pan out within the Indian startup ecosystem?
So I think the Indian startup ecosystem is now rapidly evolving from a crypto perspective, and a lot of traditional venture cap firms are waking up to crypto and going ahead. For that matter, you know, our partners, Nexus Venture Partners, have a separate Web3 arm. When they look at tens of Web3 companies every single week, and the same is true for most other VC firms, right? What we are seeing is, see, actually at the end of the day, money always finds a way to move to places that helps it grow at the fastest rate. That's like the thumb rule of money and how money works, right? And venture capital is an instrument that accelerates that movement into these places. As crypto is evolving and as crypto is growing and a lot of value is being created, you're starting to see a lot of folks on the venture side move towards crypto. You know, the things like crypto being taxed and being declared a taxable instrument now in the finance will only accelerate this process. Mm-hmm. And as more and more and more people get involved in crypto, we will only accelerate creation of entities, creation of intermediaries, defining what taxes can be reduced, where can it be reduced, who can do what and who can do not.
Right.
Who cannot do what. So venture cap is growing very rapidly. In fact, I know a lot of venture folks for whom they have actually done more venture deals in January in crypto than in non-crypto across the board. So it's moving at that rapid pace, and I genuinely think 2022 and 2023 will be like the years of crypto for venture capital in India and for entrepreneurs in India in general.
Right. What's your take on investor education in terms of the sector itself? Is that something, do you get like did you find fairly knowledgeable folks in the investor community who are very, very plugged into the ecosystem, or there's a lot of onus of education on you guys when you are like talking to them?
Well, I said this earlier, I'm a crypto enthusiast first, Mudrex founder later.
Right.
So I do actually do a lot of sessions with a lot of folks where I just walk them through what is crypto, what is not crypto, how do you set up your bullshit alerts to figure out and distinguish between the two and work with them. And I've actually been doing this since quite some time, and so have a lot of other people in the industry, right? And the result of that, now what has happened is that there are like multiple expert level folks across the board.
Right.
So then everyone is trying to spread the gospel of crypto faster, and that helps, right? From my perspective as a crypto enthusiast, there is nothing more that I would love to see.
Right.
So in a nutshell, there is still a lot of work to be done, but things are much better as compared to what they were, and there are true believers out there, and not just people who are trying to.
Absolutely. No, thanks a lot, Idul, for your time. It's been like almost like a 40-minute chat. It was very interesting and, you know, enlightening for us. And it's also, you know, great to see a fair amount of optimism when it comes to the sector. We'll definitely be watching out Mudrex, you know, we wish you all the best and more bigger milestones in the future. Thanks a lot for your time. So this is...
Thanks a lot, guys.
No, thank you. So, Sharad, this is Nikhil Arora.
This is Sharad Tupran.
Signing off, huh? Thanks.